Good morning. Let's turn our Bibles to Matthew chapter 19. Matthew 19, verse 16. Matthew 19:16. And someone came to him and said, "Teacher, what good thing shall I do that I may obtain eternal life?" And he said to him, "Why are you asking me about what is good? There's only one who is good, but if you wish to enter into life, keep the commandments." Then he said to him, "Which ones?" And Jesus said, "You shall not commit murder. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. You shall not bear false witness. Honor your father and mother, and you shall love your neighbor as yourself." The young man said to him, "All these things I have kept. What am I still lacking?" Jesus said to him, "If you wish to be complete, go and sell your possessions and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven, and come, follow me." But when the young man heard this statement, he went grieving, for he was one who owned much property. And Jesus said to his disciples, "Truly I say to you, it is hard for a rich man to enter the kingdom of heaven. Again I say to you, it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God." When the disciples heard this, they were very astonished and said, "Who then can be saved?" And looking at them, Jesus said to them, "With people this is impossible, but with God all things are possible." Then Peter said to him, "Behold, we have left everything and followed you. What then will there be for us?" And Jesus said to them, "Truly I say to you, that you who have followed me in the regeneration, when the Son of Man will sit on his glorious throne, you also shall sit upon 12 thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel. And everyone who has left houses or brothers or sisters or father or mother or children or farms for my name's sake will receive many times as much and will inherit eternal life. But many who are first will be last, and the last first." Amen. Let's pray. Father, thank you for this morning. We thank you for your presence. We thank you for your word. Thank you for your encouragement. We love you, God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. So in this text, I'm sure many of you have heard this text before. This rich young ruler, or this rich man, comes to Jesus and asks him, "What good thing do I have to do to get eternal life?" And Jesus answers him, "Well, you got to obey the commandments." And then the guy says, "Well, I have kept the commandments. What am I still lacking?" And then Jesus goes on to say, "Well, if you want to be complete or if you want to be perfect, go sell your possessions, give to the poor, and you will have treasures in heaven." And then this young man goes away sad because he was a man of great wealth. And I think if you have been a Christian a while, you probably have wondered, do I have to do the same? Have you? Do I have to sell everything I have? Do I have to sell all my possessions, give to the poor, and follow Jesus? And is that the only way to be saved? I don't think so. Because if you read throughout Scripture, we understand, actually, you don't get saved by doing a good thing, right? You don't get saved by your good works. So surely, this is not a general answer for everybody that is seeking to go to have eternal life in heaven. I believe this is a specific word that is given to this specific person because Jesus sees through his heart. Right? Often in the Gospels, when people ask Jesus a question, Jesus seems to go beyond the question to what is going on in the heart of that person. And so he addresses that issue. So for this person, the issue was his wealth, right? He was very wealthy, And probably in his heart, that had become his idol, right? Wealth, possessions, money, those are things that he loved more than he could love God. And Jesus, seeing that, says to him, well, what you need to do is you need to give up your possessions. You need to give up the thing that you love more than me, than God, than the gospel. So easy application for us is, what is it for us? You know, if Jesus were to come to us, hopefully there isn't anything, you know. But I remember long time ago when we used to have this guy, Sean Smith, Pastor Sean Smith, as our retreat speakers. And he said this one phrase, and P. Sams repeated it. And I just think it's simple and powerful. He says, Satan dines on our leftovers. What he meant by that is whatever we choose to hold on to and not surrender to God, that's the leftover. You know, whatever, you know, we say to God, God, you can have my everything. You know, I follow you and I give you my heart. But there are some things in my heart that I just won't surrender, right? Whether it's unforgiveness, you know, like I'll give you everything, but if you want me to forgive this person, no way. You know, I'll give you everything, but if you want me to surrender my children's education, no way. You know, you guys know what I mean? Like, we have things, we have leftovers, and Satan dines on our leftovers, the things that we refuse to give to God. So what are those things in our lives that Jesus might say, hey, give it up, you know? Give those things up. Then you'll be able to really follow me and be a true follower. The young man goes away sad because he just couldn't do it. He couldn't do it. Right at that moment, he couldn't do it. And then Jesus says, truly, I tell you, it is hard for someone who is rich to enter into the kingdom of heaven. Again, I tell you, it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for someone who is rich to enter the kingdom of heaven. And the disciples are astonished. I think in those times, it was very commonly thought that the rich were actually the ones that were blessed by God, and the poor were in some way, they were rejected by God, they were being punished by God. So for them, the rich, it was equated, the rich were the blessed, you know, the favored, the poor was the opposite. So for them to hear the rich, it is impossible for the rich to enter the kingdom of heaven, it is very surprising to the disciples. And so they were astonished. But I think for us now, it's probably easy to understand why it is difficult for the rich to be saved. Because the rich have everything that they need, right? There isn't much lacking for them. So it's very difficult to share the gospel with them. Because for them, I should really say for us, because most likely, most of us here, we would have been considered, we're considered rich, right? You might not consider yourself rich, but I guess statistically speaking, in relative terms to the world, we sitting here in this nice AC, in this nice sanctuary, you have a refrigerator, a bed, a roof over your head, we're rich. We have everything that we need. And it's difficult for us to come to God in a humble manner. Yesterday, I went to Discovery Bay with my family. We were just wondering, oh, what should we do? So we decided to call up Ken Tan. He's our board member. He lives in Discovery Bay. If you ever want to learn more about Discovery Bay, you should give Ken Tan a call. And he will show you around Discovery Bay. He loves Discovery Bay. He's like the Discovery Bay ambassador. Right, you just go there, and he's like, oh, well, this is this, and this is this, and he's telling you the history of everything. So he took us out to this marina club where there's these really beautiful-looking ships. Boats? What are they called? Boats? They're like livable boats. And I didn't even know these things existed. To me, boat people, people living on the boat were like old-school Chinese, like people living in Aberdeen, you know what I mean? Like those fishing villages, people living on the boats. But this is a different kind of boat people. You know, they're the very wealthy, the very, it's just they have these huge boats, and apparently, you know, they make custom make these boats. The boat outside is pretty standard, but inside everything is custom made, and it can be as big as, like the usual size is about 1,800 square foot inside, and they're just docked at this bay. There's boat after boat after boat, and he just took us there. He took us to the club for Chinese food, and then he said, oh, we can walk by, and you can see the boats. And so Mon and I were just amazed. We're like, wow, this is beautiful. You know, we saw some photos of the inside of the homes, and it's nice and beautiful. But I just remember thinking, like, man, it would be tough to do ministry here. You know, they would be like, ah, Christianity, that's great. But I don't need it. I don't need Jesus. I don't need salvation. I mean, I have everything that I need. And anyway, just a reflection I had as I was reading it. But the final point that I wanted to get to is verse 28. Verse 27. Peter answered him, or really asked him a question. We have left everything to follow you. What then will there be for us? I just love Peter. Don't you love Peter? He has no facade or like this false religiosity about him. He just goes up to Jesus. So Peter hears Jesus tell the young man, you have to leave everything you have and follow me. And then, so Peter is like, well, I did it. We did it. Lord, the 12 of us here, we have left everything to follow you. So what's in store for us? You know, like a religious person, none of us would say this, right? Because we'd be like, what, that's so self-seeking. You know, I don't want to go up to Jesus and be like, well, what's in it for me, God? You know, we want to be humble servants. We've given everything for you. Everything is for your glory, God. I don't need anything, et cetera, et cetera. But Peter just says, hey, Jesus, well, I've given up everything to follow you. So what's up with me? What are you going to, you know, what's in store for me? What's there for me? And then Jesus doesn't rebuke him. Jesus doesn't say, you fool, you know, why are you self-seeking and whatever? Why are you so immature, right? He just says, actually, yeah, you have left everything to follow me, and this is my promise to you. Verse 29, everyone who has left houses or brothers or sisters or father or mother or brother or wife or children or fields for my sake will receive 100 times as much and will inherit eternal life. Isn't that beautiful? What a promise we have. What a promise we have. That if you choose to follow him in this life and you give up everything, you give up your career, you give up your promotion, you give up relationships even, and you give up things that that please you, Jesus says, in the life to come, at the renewal of all things, in the second coming, you're going to receive 100 times as much, and you will inherit eternal life. I just wanted to highlight that point. And just want to encourage us to have this eternal perspective, right? That this life is short, and that at the end of this life, we are going to face judgment. I think I said that last Thursday, Hebrews 9, 27, men are destined to die once, and then we come, and then we face judgment. But there's two types of judgment. The first judgment is whether or not you get to heaven, or whether you get to heaven or hell, right? That's the judgment seat of God. And we have passed through that judgment, right? Because we have trusted in Jesus Christ. But I think it's 1 Corinthians it tells us that even those that have been saved, we are going to be judged according to our works. That God, that Jesus is going to look at how we lived our lives and say, well, you barely make it to heaven, or you get rewarded for all the things that you have done. And a lot of people have problem with this. You know, a lot of people are like, wow, that's so self-seeking or whatever. But I think, one, I mean, it's scriptural, you know. I think it's natural for us to go, well, God, I'm giving you my everything. And for us to realize at the end of the day, when we are face-to-face with Jesus, because of the way we lived our lives, he will say to us, well done, my good and faithful servant. And sometimes it seems like it from Scripture that he might say to you, well, that wasn't so good. I probably really should give you the Scripture for it, because it's like shocking, right? Let me find it. I didn't. Pastor Andrew, if you know the Scripture that I'm talking about, help me out. Or Jackie, anyone. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. Verse 12. If anyone builds, chapter 3, 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 12. If anyone builds on this foundation using gold, silver, costly stone, wood, hay, or straw, their work will be shown for what it is, because the day will bring it to light. It will be revealed with fire, and the fire will test the quality of each person's work. If what has been built survives, the builder will receive a reward. If it is burned up, the builder will suffer loss, but yet will be saved, even though only as one escaping through the flames. That's it right there. You're either going to be rewarded, and God's, yeah, I mean, you know, Bobby Connor, when he was speaking to us, he mentioned it last year, and then he also mentioned it this year, but apparently he was being interviewed for something, maybe for a book or some kind of work that he had done, and it was just going to be, I don't think it was for a secular TV, but in his plan, in his heart, his plan was to just give a very generic kind of nice answer about why he wrote this book or why he did this kind of work, and just kind of, you know, just a very pleasant but expected answer. But then as he was about to start the interview, the Holy Spirit spoke to him and said, I want you to say, like, exactly the truth as to why you did this thing. And the truth that he had shared was, actually, he did this work because he knows that one day he's going to face God. When he dies, he's going to face God. And he wants to hear God say to him, well done, my good and faithful servant. And so, and with that vision in mind, he did what he did, because he wanted to be faithful. He wanted to do a good work because he knew that one day he was going to face the Lord. And I think that's a great vision to have, for us to understand that at the renewal, we will receive 100 times more than what we have given up for God. And to have this eternal perspective to say, Lord, I know that this life, you know, is important to me and there are things that I enjoy, but man, I would gladly give that up if it means I can please you, and if it means that I can hear those words from you, well done, my good and faithful servant. You know, what if you got to heaven and you didn't say that? That would suck. What if you got to heaven and said, well, you are that person in 1 Corinthians chapter 3 that barely gets saved, but welcome anyway. I don't know. I mean, it's heaven. We know it's going to be glorious, but there seems to be this judgment there. I don't want that. And I remember talking to my brother. You know, we're pastors' kids, right? So we talk about things like this sometimes. This is a long time ago. And we're just talking about dying and facing the Lord. And we're talking about, You know, what if in this life, because he was a computer programmer at the time, and we said, what if you die, and like, what if you live this whole life on earth and you come up with great computer programs? You know, you develop this wonderful thing, and then you get to heaven, and God says to you, well, so what have you done in your life? And all you can say to him is, well, I developed this great computer program, God. At the time, we were thinking, man, that's not that significant to the Lord. I mean, maybe it is. I don't want to get into it. If you're a computer programmer, do your best, right? But to us at that moment, we were thinking, man, what are some significant things that we can do for God instead of, you know, what if our thing is, well, we travel the world, God. You know, I was that Instagrammer that traveled the world and took the most beautiful photos and everybody admired me. Well, God's not going to, you know what I'm saying. Is there spiritual significance, or not spiritual significance, but is there, will there be significance to God when he looks at our lives that we're living here on earth? So that's eternal perspective, and I think it's a good perspective to have. So I want to encourage you with that. Janella's going to lead us in a song. And so let's just go before the Lord and just ask the Holy Spirit to speak to us. Whatever it is, maybe it's, is there something that we need, that we're holding on to, you know, the leftovers in our hearts that God's wanting us to lay down? Or do we need to have an eternal perspective? Let it encourage you. Maybe you're giving up some things and maybe it's hard right now because you're trying to live this life for God. Well, God sees it, and he says to you that in the renewal of all things, you're going to receive 100 times more for what you are giving up and what you are laying down. And and it's a good thing. So let's just go before the Lord.
Oh,
Let's just sing that chorus one more time. I surrender. Yes, God, that's our prayer, Lord, that we surrender everything to you, God. So sorry that we have so many things so often that we don't surrender, we hold on to. And yeah, help us to more freely and more easily surrender these things, God, that we hold on to. For our convenience, for our entertainment, for our own pleasures, God, for our own security. Help us to more easily and more freely surrender to you, knowing that you're a good God. You're a good God. We can trust you. We can trust you, and you're worthy of it all anyway, God. So Lord, help us to do that. Speak to us today. Give us this eternal perspective, God, of seeing you in heaven, and everything will be restored. God, help us to have this glorious vision, God, for what is to come, and to live this life in light of what is to come. So we thank you for your word, God. Let's pray together for our community. Let's pray for those battling cancer. Yeah, let's pray for strength and covering. Mary, the last person on number one, Mary Madrala, her father just passed away, actually. So they're back in India, her and her husband. So let's pray for her. He was a believer as well. So praise God. Thank the Lord that he's in heaven with God right now. But let's pray for others. Let's just continue to pray for power to go forth. And let's pray for recovery. And just miracle to come, and for our friends to be healed and restored to health. Let's pray. Let's go to our second slide. Illness and salvation. Pray for those that are sick but also in need of salvation. Let's pray that they would come to know Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Let's pray for those with various infirmities. Let's just pray for God's healing to come upon our friends. Let's pray for those looking for a job. Let's pray for God's provision, guidance, and leading. Let's go to our Tuesday prayer focus. Let's pray for Hong Kong. Let's pray for our government. Let's pray against the wealth gap here. There's something to be done. Let's pray for revival in this land. Let's pray for all the churches and these different ministries that we are supporting. Let's pray for just the young people of Hong Kong, that they will not give in to despair and suicide. Let's pray for domestic helpers and just other families in distress and the children there. So let's just pray for our city. Let's pray for the staff. Continue to pray for P. Sam as he is away on his sabbatical. He is, he'll be rested, well rested. And if you see at the very end, we have our latest addition to our staff. Caleb is an intern. He has joined us just this past week. So let's just pray for the whole staff to work well together, to be united, to be led by the Holy Spirit, to have so much faith as we work and as we minister. So let's just pray for the staff. Let's pray for covering over the staff. Let's pray for the hospitality team. Let's pray for Pastor Andrew leading the welcoming team and Ashley leading the barista team. Let's pray for just the anointing of God upon the team to be able to really welcome people and love people and help people feel a sense of belonging here, a sense of acceptance here. Let's pray for our hospitality ministry. Let's pray for the worship, sound, and AV team. Let's pray for heart of worship and pursuit of excellence, that we would do the very best that we can. And let's pray that that the public worship on Sunday, the corporate worship on Sunday, would be an overflow of the team's private worship in their own quiet times and in their own relationship with God. So let's pray for these teams. Let's pray for the mission trip that's happening right now, which is our local Hong Kong mission trip to Shanti. They're doing the VBS starting yesterday all the way through Saturday. Let's pray for a really good time for the kids that are going to be coming. Let's pray that these children would encounter Jesus Christ. And let's pray for our team, that they would be united, that they would flow and just have the anointing of the Holy Spirit upon them. Okay, so let's pray for our mission trip. Let's pray for our SPLI class tonight. We're starting our guitar classes. Let's pray for the students to have just supernatural ability to absorb and learn and practice and enjoy, and that it would help them to worship God with guitar. So let's pray for this class. Thank you, God. We give this day to you. We love you. And help us to, like the song that we sang, surrender our everything to you, starting from right now, God, this morning. So come, Holy Spirit, speak to us. We give you our lives. We give you our hearts. Thank you, Lord. Bless everyone that's here, Lord. We thank you, God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Have a great day, and we'll see you guys tomorrow.
Precious Jesus, oh, for grace to trust Him.